Morning. Who of you came this morning really, really, really because you are hungry to grow in the Lord, to grow in revelation? I came. Amen. And God wants to do something great this morning, like in big, like in extraordinary. He wants to come and touch our hearts. He wants to come and touch our mindsets. He wants to come and activate each and every one of us this morning to become a powerful instrument in His hand, in His kingdom. Something that I've discovered the past 2 years while I was seeking God with everything in me. And if I'm a little bit emotional, it's not my emotions. It's the Holy Spirit. Because I've sensed Him since I woke up this morning, just past one, that He really, really has an appointment with each and every one of us that's in this place. I've been seeking God for the past 2 years, asking Him questions, hard questions. Father, where's the power in the house? Father, where's the things that we saw in Acts? And God had to change quite a bit of things in my heart. God has to change. I had to allow Holy Spirit to come and remove ideas and remove religious strongholds from my heart and my mind to come to a place where He could actually start to speak to me. His ideas about my destiny, His ideas about my calling, His ideas about His church. The theme of the sermon today is the revelation of the cross in powers. And if there's anything that we need to seek out and search out in the days that we are living in, we need to seek God for revelation of what happened on the cross. Because the key of a powerful church lies in what Jesus did and completed once and for all on the cross. You know, Jesus lived a life worthy to die for us. His life was of such substance. His life was of such an example that Father God could actually use Him, His life, to bring the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for us. But do you know that His death and resurrection gave me permission and made a way for me and you to live a life worthy? A life worthy to Christ. It is His life, it's His death and resurrection that qualifies me and you to live a life worthy of the cross. And if we don't understand what Jesus did on the cross, we will always feel we have to do something more to be accepted and to be good enough to work for the Lord. While He completed the full price, the full thing, He completed on the cross. He overcame death. You know what Jesus did on the cross? He restored the division of unity that existed after the fall of Adam and Eve between us and God. There was a division in unity between us and God. And Jesus came and He restored that division. We could not pay a thing for the restoration. There's no price I can pay. There's no prayer except repentance big enough to restore me back to Jesus. He had to do it while I was still in sin. He had to do it while I was still in darkness. And the restoration that He did on the cross was He brought the vision between us and everybody that will receive Him on the face of the earth, between darkness and us. He came and He united us back to light, to Jesus, to the Word, and to the full power, and I will walk through you. But He came and He restored us back. And in the in my walk with the Lord and in my cry to God for answers, why the church is not powerful, like we read in Acts, like we read in John and in the epistles and in the Gospels. Why, Lord, why? What's going on? God privileged me to go to Ambon with Suzette Hutton, as you know. And I found something, some answers there. If I can go to the second slide, please. Where is the operator? Okay. John 12, verse 32 says, and I, if and when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, will draw the and attract all men, Gentiles and as well as Jews to myself. And I discovered the meaning of the scripture in Ambon. You see, this scripture is almost like a magic wand. It's almost like a magic wand, but in God there's no magic. It seems so easy. If and when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, will draw all and track all men to myself. Lord, it's so easy, but why is it so difficult? In Ambon, as the church united, as we seeked him in the Awaken the Dawn prayer in the morning for days before the crusade, I started to realize and I started to see how the unity of revelation, how the corporate revelation of what Jesus Christ did releases a power and an atmosphere over towns that draw people unto Christ. I want us not to allow any distractions in this day, because where we are going today, God is going to show us how to deal with the accuser, so that today you will overcome obstacles in your life that's been a burden to you for maybe your whole life. And I don't want us to allow anything to distract us from the Word of God, because this is what Satan wants to do. He just don't want us to break through, and he just don't want us to understand exactly what Jesus did on the cross. You know, in Ambon, the Islam came and they destroyed us, the whole island, 12 years ago. But I had the privilege to go there 12 years later and to see what Christians, when they truly understand that we have been united back to God as a unit, and when we pray in unity, and when we speak in unity, and when we sing in unity, this unity, this lifting up of what Jesus did on the cross, truly draw the world to him. As we prayed in the mornings, as we worshipped in the mornings, preparing, putting out our faith that the people from the islands around the Moluccas will come to the crusade to receive Jesus, to be set free from generational bondage of idolatry. Before my eyes, I could see what unity did. But this unity we cannot receive. We cannot unite in faith, guys. We cannot unite if we do not receive a revelation of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And the last thing that Satan wants in a day like today, in the times where we are, is that we will preach about the cross. Because he's the accuser, and we will see what Jesus did on the cross. You know, the first night, the second slide, please. The first night when we sat on the platform where all the intercessors and the ministry team sat, nearly 100 or more of the people, much more than this, I had the privilege to see how the world streamed in and filled up that place from row one, waiting for 2, 3, 4 hours. We did not even preach one word at that stage. But the atmosphere, my brother, was so pregnant with the presence of the Lord Jesus and the hunger to see the kingdom come in that place that people could not stay away, even though we were threatened. and had government protection. They came. Why? Because the presence of the living God was in the place. There's only one that walked this earth. The history books can say Jesus was a prophet. They can say Muhammad was a prophet and Buddha was a prophet. But there's only one that died and was resurrected to a victorious place. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus himself resurrected people. Talitha and Lazarus. But they had to die again. A physical death. There's only one that lived a life worthy to die and be resurrected so that we can live. And it's Jesus Christ himself. And once he become part, once we receive a revelation of who he was and who he is and who he wants us to be, we will not live a low, a mediocre Christian life. You will be consumed by the love of the Lord for souls. And this church has the potential to turn not only a city around, if we can only wake up in this day. And hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us in this day. There is not one reborn Christian that the Word of God excludes from royal priesthood. We are all called to be holy priests unto God. And from that place, we are called to be kings because of the blood of Jesus that purged us from slavery to victory, to freedom in Christ, but not for ourselves. Not to drive and to do and to experience life in a different way, but to bring salvation to a dying world and a dying town. And I've been asking God, I sat on that platform. I saw how lives came to the Lord. I saw how many people stood up out of wheelchairs. How many were saved and healed. And I said, Lord, what about my town? What do we need? What is it that keep our nation in such bondage? Although we say more than 70% of us are Christians. Lord, why do we need prayer every Sunday? And it's good to come for prayer. And especially today. And God showed me in Revelation 12:10, where the word says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. The accuser of the brethren, the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And I realized that maybe some of us and have received Jesus Christ. Maybe we prayed the prayer, but we never moved from only being a saved person to being a resurrected person with Christ Jesus. Maybe we never came to a place where we made a decision to die to self. To give over all my struggles and all the hang-ups I have and all the addictions I have so that Christ Jesus can come and live through me. Now we need to understand what the Word of God says in Revelation 12:10. We like to quote 11, and I will come to verse 11. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we did not love our lives until death. We like to quote that, but we need understanding of verse 10. And even if I stop here today, and we can break through in the Spirit, and we can, in this day, lay down everything that Satan used to accuse us, so that we can live in Christ, we will become powerful for the Lord in Standerton. And in the nations. Now the word says, now he's speaking about Jesus on the cross. He's not only speaking about Jesus on the cross. He's speaking about Jesus when he went down into the abyss and he had to make announcements to the fallen angels from Noah's time. And he's speaking, and I will walk through scriptures with you. But he's speaking about the time when he overcame death, when he took away the keys from Satan, the keys that kept us in bondage and separated us from the love of Christ Jesus because of the fall of man. He's talking about when the power of God resurrected him from the dead. And with that same power, he went up, released us as a church into authority. You know, the word church does not really belong in the Bible, because the real word is ecclesia. That means called out. And that actually the true meaning of the ecclesia, we call ourselves a church. The church is those with governmental authority to rule over territorial regions. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the ruler of the universe, is in you and me. But if we don't understand this word, where John had to write down the last words for us for a time like this, where he says that now salvation, and did we receive salvation? Yes. And the power, did we receive power when the Holy Spirit came on us? Okay? And the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. And this is an explanation and a picture of how we as a church should look like. We should be saved. We should have power, because we open up for a baptism of power, of the Holy Spirit and fire. And we should represent the kingdom of God well on earth, because we understand his character. We will not live a little bit in the kingdom of darkness and then live a little bit in the kingdom of light. But what we will do is, once we discover that we have sinned, we will try to outrun the accuser to the throne of grace to repent. So that when the accuser come to the throne of grace and he come to accuse us, our God can tell him, there's no testimony, or there's no paper, or there's no accusation against this person any longer, because he or she has repented truly. And true repentance not only mean, it's not remorse. I'm caught out, and now I say, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, one day I caught somebody that stole money from a camp. And God revealed to us exactly where she put the money and stuff. And you know, on the end, we gave her an opportunity in a loving atmosphere to repent. And she went something like this. Okay, God, I'm sorry. And you know what happened to that lady? She had a time to repent. She ended up in jail, guys, where she truly had time to repent. What God is saying here, he came, he gave his son, and he paid every price, a full price, for every accusation that can come against me. But the key is that I will receive Jesus. I will receive him in power. I will receive him in every dimension of my life. So once the accuser come and I have repented, I've got the full authority and the full confidence to tell him, you've got a copy. My daddy wiped out with the blood of Christ Jesus every accusation that you tried to bring against me. And you know, God showed me that this is the biggest thing that hinders the church from being powerful. It's because we believe the accusations of Satan, although Jesus Christ paid a full price. The second thing is, we don't only believe it, we refuse to repent. We don't want to deal harshly with the things that separate me. Although Jesus paid the price, although it's there for us, we refuse to deal with the sin in our lives. We refuse to allow the kingdom of God to come in every dimension of our being, whether it's our emotions, whether it's our body, through disease or whatever. And today, the word of God says in Revelation 12:11, and they have conquered him. And he's talking about the accuser now. Who is this word talking about? The accuser. And who is they? We. So, Amanda, Sulia, Donnie, Millie, I can just go, Chris, and I can just name names. Amanda have conquered the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. Now, it's maybe easy to apply the blood, because that's what we know how to do from a religious perspective as well. Because we were brought up since young, just plead the blood. But you know, we need a revelation of the blood and what Jesus did. And then the word of our testimony. Many times people come and they say, I've quoted down some things. Satan destroyed my testimony. Do you know it's not possible for him to destroy your testimony? It's bought by the blood. Your testimony starts the day when you give your heart to Jesus. The day when you decide to follow him. Your life's testimony starts exactly there. And you can call it. You can go and make a thing on your wall and write there the date. I was 11 years old when I gave my heart to Jesus the first time. A woman with the name Hilda Ferrara led me to Jesus in a little rondavel in Jeffreys Bay. And I still thank God for her life. And that she showed me the way to Jesus. But the question that God is asking today is, can you truly, honestly, today, jot down the time and the date when your testimony started? And do you know that your testimony will only end when Jesus comes to fetch you? Your testimony is about what he did for you. Your testimony is not so much about the past hurts, about the physical, emotional, and all the abuses of the world. Your testimony starts the day when you received Jesus and you made a decision to exchange your hurt for healing. But what God showed me in Ambon, most Christians only want the healing. They don't want to know the healer. And today, God wants to come. He wants through his spirit. He wants to stir each and every one of us to a new dimension of relationship and revelation of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So that we can become the hope, salt and light on the earth. And bring the good news to our dying city. To those who are desperate for him. But God wants to deal with the accuser in your life today. You know, Saturday, a week ago, when we prayed, God gave me that scripture to pray in Isaiah 53 verse 10, where the word says, he poured out his blood as a guilt offering. Who of you truly can say today, you believe Jesus poured out his blood, his soul, his blood, as a guilt offering? Who really, honestly believe that? Okay? Who of you really honestly can say today, I've applied that to every situation where I felt guilty because I thought I didn't make the mark? Because this is what Christ came for. You know, if I walk for 10 years as a reborn Christian with a thing what a brother did against me, I'm not only clinging to the accuser of the brethren, I don't allow the power of the cross to work in their lives. If I want to apply the blood and the power of the blood to remove my guilt, I need to set free those who hurt me. This is part of the exchange that Jesus did on the cross. He did not only die for Amanda, but he died for those who abused me in my childhood. But if I cling to the hurt, if I cling to the hurt of what churches did to me, and if I cling to the hurt of what my husband did to me, and what my whoever did to me, I cannot walk free in the Lord. And it's not possible to bring healing where you go. It's not possible. And this is what the scripture is all about in Revelation 12:11. The desire of our King is to bring the power of the cross to your past. To bring your past into the cross, into what he did on the cross. And to use the past experiences and hurt to empower you for a day like today, when you can testify and say, truly, Jesus delivered me from hurt. Or he delivered me from this slavery, whether it's whatever. Because many times we think there's only two or three kinds of slavery. It's smoke and alcohol and some things. But you know, slavery is very deep. It can be habits that we don't even mention in church. Eating habits and all kinds of stuff that enslaves us. Mindsets that enslaves us to think like a slave. While Jesus, the word says he overcame. If you go and study Revelation 12, you will see there's four names for Satan, and I don't want to go there. But we need to understand which voice is talking to us. And if we grow in our testimony, as we start to testify about what Jesus did for you in your life, you will grow in faith, and he will help you to grow spiritually to a place where you can become a powerful instrument for him in the kingdom. Now, just something about the testimony. I want to read things that I wrote for myself. Is it okay? I wrote, there is no battle or contest that God consider finished until it is won. So maybe you can say, Satan stole my testimony. But God, because Jesus overcame, and because he became the victor, will never let go of that contest until you win. Because we are called to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We are called to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, my brother. He will not let go because he wants to see how we start to live in him a victorious life. But as long as we cling to our own lifestyles, as long as we are self-righteous why we do things, we cannot grow to a place where Jesus can have the joy to see how we overcome. You need to bring Jesus into the battle. Allow him to bring victory. Because in Christ, every battle is meant to turn into victory. Amen? Who can say amen to that? Amen. We need to take God extremely personal. The word says he died for a lost world, but do you know you are part of the lost world? Take him extremely possible and personal. Apply what the word says firstly to your own life before you start to speak to any person about him. Know that he wants us to minister from a place of freedom and revelation in him. Not perfection. Not sinless. Freedom in the Lord means I know what he did for me, and I know if I run to the throne of grace and I say, Daddy, I'm sorry, that he will forgive me. That is freedom. Perfection is where we need to labor and do things to earn God's forgiveness. We cannot. You can pray through millions of millions and trillions of papers without understanding, and it will not bring freedom, but one revelation. And this is that Jesus paid the full price. And when you bow before the throne, and when you come to a place, you say, Jesus, I believe you paid the full price. That moment when you exchange your bondage for what he did, you will start to walk in freedom. Corrie ten Boom, I work with many people. My time is running out. I will not be able to complete the whole thing, but Corrie ten Boom said, this is what the past is for. Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for the future that only he can see. I want to petition before you today for my God. I experienced how he can come and remove hurt. I experienced how he can even come and remove memories of what happened. Somebody asked me 2-3 months ago about the thing, and I couldn't remember a thing. Once you connect with the love of Jesus, once you connect with that redeeming love that he gave his life on the cross, and you allow him to come and wash you, allowing to exchange the hurt, the memories, the things for freedom, there will come times in your life and a season where you will not even be able to remember the wrong. The problem is, I want us to go to Hebrew 10, to the at the back. The problem is, we get addicted to hang on to the wrong things. We like the attention. And this is exactly what Satan wants. I want to close with this scripture and explain it to you. Hebrews 10, 19, 22 and 23 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confessions of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, when Jesus hung on the cross, just picture yourself with a thorny crown that was pressed into his skull. It's not little thorns. It was huge things. We saw it in Israel. That was pressed into his skull. And you know, when they were crucified, the moment when they blew out the breath, the head hung to the front. You know, the word of God says in Colossians 1:20, his blood on the cross is paid for our peace. You know that scripture? Now, what happened exactly, and I want to explain, and I want to close with an invitation, is this. When God cursed Adam and Eve, he said, thorns will grow from the earth. When Jesus wore the thorny crown, he remembered the curse. He remembered that because of the sin and because of the wrong decision, he cursed the ground to bring forth thorns, difficulties for us, difficult situations and circumstances where we could not in the Old Testament bring even really sacrifices ourselves. The high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies. But Jesus on the cross, his body became a torn veil. He opened up. When his blood came to the ground, when he touched the ground, he brought the redemption. He canceled the curse. He became a curse. Oh, if we can only receive a revelation. He became a curse for every curse that ever existed. And to the point of your revelation and the application of the word of the Lord, you will be free or bound. I hope I express myself. If we choose not to believe that he paid the full price, if we choose not to believe that he cancelled out every debt and every curse, it's not possible to walk free. But if today we can see how he hung on the cross, his body was so torn, they had to keep it together with linen. It's not the picture that we see in books with a little bit of blood here and there. He poured out his blood, all of it, as a sin offering and a guilt offering. But we can only walk in that freedom if we receive what Jesus did on the cross. If we think we still need to do a lot of stuff to earn that, you will stay bound and you will, it's not possible to walk in that freedom. In Ambon, I saw the life of a woman that walked in freedom in the Lord. That came from terrible abuse background. Where Satan tried to kill her 3 or 4 times in her life. Even a man and a woman, a godly man and woman of God, who heard that Suzette was called for great things in God, had to resurrect her from death. That I didn't know. She died. And I heard from the Lord. Who of us wants to be a servant of the Lord that can hear clearly? Go to that house. There's a dying person. There's a calling on his life. Go to this jail. There's a suffering person. There's a calling on his life. And this is what today is all about. Jesus wants to come. And he wants you to just bring your heart before him. The word says that let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean with from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our hearts sprinkled clean. There's no more sacrifice. Jesus did it. When his blood came out, it was for me and your heart. We need to bow and receive the sprinkling. If you never gave your heart to Jesus, I want to invite you today, honestly, never gave your heart to Jesus. I want to invite you, come. Come give over. The answer for a free life and a powerful life, like we talk in Revelation 12, is the cross, the full price, Jesus, the Savior. If you are reborn and you live a mediocre lifestyle where you feel Satan stole your testimony, where you feel you are overcome by Satan and his powers because you cannot break loose from addiction, this is your day. You are called to be victorious in the Lord, and you are called to walk in victory in the Lord. Come and exchange today what belongs to Satan. Let the cross become powerful to bring the vision between darkness and light. And come back and be restored fully back in unity to our Christ. The Word of God says, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Word cannot lie. Satan cannot steal my testimony, but I can give away my birthright. I've got an inheritance. And my inheritance encompasses freedom in the Lord. Not lack. There will always be a struggle. I'm not painting a picture without where we need to resist. I'm talking about the possibility to live an overcoming lifestyle. Where we can, in the midst of trouble, be victorious. Where we can be in the midst. You know what touched my heart the most about the outreach in Ambon? The vibrant church because of persecution. How vibrant they became in prayer. How anxious they were to see those who were still in religious bondage saved. Do you know that more than 50% of the people that came to the Lord came from churches that gave their hearts to Jesus, even leaders? And the invitation this morning, please, Jesus is waiting for your salvation. This is your day. If you are reborn, and you feel you are overcome by Satan, it's a lie. Come, let's break the lie and help you to become powerful. But I want to ask you, this week, this coming week, go and study John 5. And go and study Revelation 12. Don't walk out this door today without allowing Holy Spirit to meet you where you are. I want to grow. I preach for myself first. Don't allow Satan. Don't allow him to walk you to walk out of this place unchanged. We are called to be holy priests, royal priests, living stones in the kingdom of God. There's not one reborn child of God without a ministry. There's not one reborn child of God without gifts. And we should use it. We should develop our ministry. It's time for the church to stand up. Donkey Quiz. It's time for the church to stand up, Donkey Pierre. It's time for the church to stand up in the authority and in the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. It's time for the church to stand up in the authority and resurrection power of Christ Jesus. Kan ons met 'n oortuiging sê amen? Amen, Here. I'm going to close, and then the invitation is for salvation on this side. And I pray that we will answer to God's call in this day. And this side is for those who want to come and exchange a mediocre Christian lifestyle for a vibrant, living relationship where we can operate in power. Amen. Father, thank you, your word says that your word will not return void. It's a self-fulfilling power. And Father, I pray that your word will be like your word says, a two-edged sword to bring division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow in this day. Father, I pray that you will just come and pour out the Joshua anointing, that we will become courageous, Father, and full of courage and confident before your throne and on the earth. Let your kingdom come today, Lord. Let your will be done on earth as in heaven. Amen. Brendan, ek wil hê die laaste liedjie sy nie omgee nie. Soos hom kan sing. En dan, terwyl ons die laaste liedjie sing, while we sing the last song, just allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. And those who want to respond to the Holy Spirit, come, let's pray for you. Amen.